Well, growing up, one of my favorite figures out of American history and folklore was Davy Crockett, you know, the king of the wild frontier. Grew up watching that Disney movie. But, you know, one of the more interesting things about Davy Crockett, and really I always kind of felt like something that was out of character for him, was the fact that, you know, he was a congressman for a while. From in the late 1820s to the early 1830s, he did a couple of stints in Congress. As the ballad of Davy Crockett has it, he went off to Congress and served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so we hear tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy Crockett, seeing his duty clear. So anyway, the reason that Colonel Crockett came to my mind today was because of what Jesus says, this great one-liner of Jesus in the gospel about give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. And of course, in saying that, Jesus is teaching us that there, just as, of course, we owe to God so much, there is also a legitimate authority, a legitimate duty that we have towards the state, towards the secular power, you know? And so I always kind of felt like of those two duties, what we owe to God and what we owe to the state, you know, what we owe to the state is a lot kind of simpler and more tangible, you know? We owe taxes to the state and we vote and, you know, we're called, some of us, to do public service as far as being in public office and things like that. So it seems a fairly tangible thing to do. And yet, I get the impression that today we really find it difficult to see that we owe a certain kind of duty a certain kind of love even to the state. You know, I'm beginning to suspect more and more that many of us cheat on our taxes. Or voting. I have to say I'm always somewhat shocked about the large number of people in our country that don't vote at all. And, you know, to be a public servant, to be in office, used to be seen as a kind of ideal. Now we think of politicians as like almost criminals, you know. When Davy Crockett was in Congress, he was not there to make money. They got paid back in those days $8 a day. Which, you know, of course, according to the money of the time, was not poor pay exactly, but you certainly weren't getting rich off of it. And he didn't think of himself to be there to, like, make a career as a politician. Again, he was there out of duty for love for his country. He considered himself to be a plain-speaking, honest kind of fellow. And so he got himself a lot of political enemies. Particularly, he made this one speech that's now known as the Not Yours to Give speech, in which he defended part of the Constitution and made a lot of enemies that way. And he also opposed the now infamous Indian Removal Act. And so really, because of both of those things, he eventually was not reelected to his seat in the Congress. But again, he didn't do it because he was trying to get some kind of benefit for himself, but because he felt like he was serving his country, like he was able to do a good turn to his local constituency. And so, you know, if we today have so much more trouble than in the good old days of Davy Crockett in being able to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, then maybe we also have to ask ourselves the question, how well do we really do with giving to God what belongs to God? Because we owe him so much more than we owe to the secular power. In fact, we owe him everything. Do we really, as our psalm said today, do we really give the Lord the glory and the honor that he deserves? So maybe we need to examine our hearts that way today. But you know, one great tool, one great weapon that we can use in our fight to give God the honor and the glory that he deserves is the rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, this is the month of October, the month of the rosary, and it's worth reflecting on how great a prayer the rosary is to give to God the honor and the glory that he deserves. You know, and we have to say too, how often should we do that? How often should we give God honor and glory through the rosary? Our Lady of Fatima tells us we need to pray the rosary daily. Now, you may know that the rosary first became particularly popular under the influence of St. Dominic. St. Dominic was a great preacher, very charismatic, But he lived at the time of a great heresy in the church called Albigensianism. And he was working to bring people back into the truth of the faith, but he was not succeeding very well, despite all of his gifts. When one day he had a vision from our Blessed Mother, and she said to him, "It is no wonder that you are making so little progress, because," she said, "you have not let the soil in which you are trying to plant the Word of God be watered by that dew from heaven." And so she said to him, it's worth quoting what she says here. She says, "When God willed to renew the face of the earth, he began by sending down on it the fertilizing rain of the angelic salutation." That's the old name for the Hail Mary, you know, because that's how the angel came and saluted Mary. She says, "Therefore, preach my Psalter, composed of 150 angelic salutations and 15 Our Fathers, and you will obtain an abundant harvest." And of course, she calls it a Psalter because the 150 Hail Marys that you pray in praying the entire rosary are supposed to model the 150 Psalms, or the Psalter that comes out of the Bible. And so when St. Dominic began to do this, when he began to pray the rosary, suddenly he had great success because of the power and the intercession of Our Lady. And he won many souls back from the Albigensian heresy and into the truth of the faith. The rosary is such a great and powerful prayer because it really involves the entire person. You know, we finger the beads involving our bodies. We pray the prayers aloud using our voices. We engage our imagination by meditating upon the different mysteries of the rosary. And of course, it's such a great prayer to be prayed in community because we can all pray it together. Now, sometimes, of course, we might think, well, are we really giving glory to God when we pray the rosary? Because isn't it like all about Mary? But that is not really the case. Whenever we give honor and glory to Mary, we are giving honor and glory to God. You know, if you've ever run into somebody who has like a new grandchild or something like that, you know how it is. They pull out their phone or their wallet or whatever and like, "Oh, look at my new grandbaby," right? And so what do they? They take the attention off of themselves and they put it on this other person. And they want you to do that too. They're not offended if you take your attention away from them and, you know, rejoice over the cuteness of their new baby or whatever, right? Because they know that in praising that little child, you are also honoring them, glorifying them. Well, it's the same way with God. When we take the time to honor and praise Mary, who is his greatest creation, then we are also honoring and praising him. To say nothing, of course, about the fact that so many of the mysteries of the rosary are about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly honor God when we meditate on what his Son has done for us. So I want to just end by sharing with you a story that we heard over the last priest retreat the other week. A true story, to the best of my knowledge, but it really speaks of the power that the rosary has to touch even the hardest of hearts. So there was this priest late at night who was getting ready for bed, getting ready to say his rosary for the night, when all of a sudden the phone rang. And when you're a priest and the phone rings late at night, you know what that means. It's the hospital calling because somebody needs a priest, right? So sure enough, the hospital's calling saying that someone has requested a priest. It's a terribly stormy night. The weather is awful. And this priest does not really want to go out, but he knows that it is his duty to do so. So he gets in his car and starts driving to the hospital. Several times as he's driving, he goes through an intersection, and right after he goes through, the cops show up to close down the intersection. That's how bad the weather is. And so he begins to realize something is going on here. There's a reason that I'm supposed to be at that hospital. So he gets there, goes up to the patient's room, and the nurse meets him and says, "Oh, Father, thanks for coming, but the patient changed his mind. He doesn't want to see you anymore." So the priest is like, "Well, I'm here now, so I'm going to go in and see him anyway." So he goes into the room. There's this old man lying on the bed, and he won't even look at the priest, won't talk to the priest. The priest says, "I heard that you wanted to speak to a priest." No response. So he says, "All right, well, I'm just going to sit here in the corner and pray my rosary. If you want to say anything, say it." So he sits down and begins to pray the rosary for this man. And about halfway through, the man finally speaks up and says, "All right, Father, I'll tell you. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, God will never forgive me, but I'll tell you anyway." So the priest comes over to hear this man's story. This man says that he had been, for most of his life, an alcoholic. and also the engineer on a train. And one day, when he was driving under the influence, he looked down the track to the upcoming intersection in the town that he was going through, and he saw a car trying to get it across the track, run through the guard and everything before the train got there. And he said, "I knew what the policy was. I should have slowed down at that point, but I decided that I was going to blare my horn and speed up and beat the car to the crossing." That's what he did. But he didn't beat the car to the crossing. He hit that car, and he killed all four of the people that were in it, two adults and two young girls. And he said, "I've spent the vast majority of my life in prison. And I know now, as I lay here dying of cancer, that God cannot forgive me of that sin." And so the priest stood there for a while, not knowing quite what to say. And then he finally said to this man, "I know that God can forgive you because I forgive you. Because you see, that was my parents and my two little sisters that you killed when you ran into that car. And I forgive you." And because of that, this man was able to repent and accept the forgiveness of God and died reconciled to the church. But it was because of the power of the rosary that opened his hard heart to the opportunity, to the chance of grace, of repentance. And so let us take very seriously the call of Our Lady of Fatima to pray the rosary, to pray it daily. Even if we can only pray a decade of the rosary, let us pray the rosary every day. Let us use it as a way to give God the honor and glory that he deserves, to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but to God what belongs to God.